One of the most underrated drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race is Vivacious, mother of Ornacia, whose fan-slapping club couture and sassy sayings have become part of the language of drag. She's a national treasure, so it's great when a big name like Miley Cyrus showcased her talents at the MTV Music Video Awards a few years back.
And now, Vivacious recently tore it up with Katy Perry on Saturday Night Live, where she synchronized her fan slaps to the pop diva's Swish Swish. The dance number was filled with fierce club kids, but 15-year-old Russell Horning, known as the Backpack Kid, stole the show with his goofy arm swinging.
Today, Vivacious joins us from her sewing room in New York City to kiki about her appearance with Katy Perry on SNL.
Plus, a trend we hope catches on, straight guys humping each other at furniture stores.
Melania Trump slaps Donald Trump's attempts to hold her hand.
And what does Vivacious think of this week's elimination on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you're listening to Feast of Fun because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. We have awesome t-shirts in our store inspired by great moments on our podcast. Check them out at feastoffun.com/store.
Hello, shapeshifters.
James Mansfield.
I will never use that word ever in my life. Fuck you, James Mansfield.
Why are you mad at James Mansfield?
Why I gotta James Mansfield that poor lady?
Congratulations again on your second pop star appearance. First it was Miley Cyrus, and now with Katy Perry on Saturday Night Live, Vivacious.
Actually, my first was Laura Branigan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot completely about that. Yes.
Turns out I've been eating celebrities' asses for years.
Whose ass tasted the
joking.
Best?
I kid.
What are you doing in the background?
That's my dildo going. Actually, no. I just bought titanium needles for my sewing machine, so I am sewing. I'm sewing sequin with another material so that it can be a one piece instead of using a straight stitch machine. Do you remember that dress RuPaul wore 2 weeks ago? The turquoise and the pink?
Yes.
I'm making a bathing suit version of that, inspired by Mother Ru.
Oh.
I'm just glad you're not doing that yellow ruffle dress everybody was screaming bloody murder about.
Did she, if she wore a yellow ruff? You know, I don't know. I think yellow works on black. Yes, yellow does work on black skin, but
black skin. I don't want to
look like a, if that's the case, girl. Where's the equal freedom?
No, honey, just because you can walk the runway and you look fierce in fashion doesn't guarantee you anything except maybe an appearance with Katy Perry on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly.
So how did Katy Perry and a gaggle of fierce drag queens and club kids come together on Saturday Night Live? Was there any reference to Miley Cyrus and the VMAs?
No, I believe that this was just her own creative content in that sense. You know, I think Katy Perry is on a mission to make the LGBT community seemed very normal to the rest of the world, and this was her way of taking on that mission. Because when we met her, she said something to that effect of, you know, a lot of people don't get what we do, but it's our job to normalize it to them. And you need something like that in this day and age when there's a Trump, when there's a, you know, there's a Trump madness all over the country, and it's slowly seeping into the mentalities in other states as well. So, yes, I commend any form of support towards the LGBT community that can help bring visibility. I don't look at it as any form of exploitation. I'm sure there is some millennial out there who will try to go, oh, there she goes, trying to use the LGBT community. Honey, child, please.
Well, I guess she's part of the community now, too, right? Because she says she's bisexual.
Well, if she is, kudos to her, honey.
Well, she said recently that she, you know, she got some award, and she was saying that, you know, back in the day, she was trying to pray the gay away. And then eventually she was just able to embrace herself. And that's where the whole I kissed a girl thing came from.
Well, I could see that whole pray the gay away thing, because if she comes from Middle America, you know, they've already indoctrinated that type of mentality. And it takes a while to free yourself from those constraints. Shit. I am 40-something years old. I'm not going to say my real age, because RuPaul might actually end up being younger than me and shit. But
I think RuPaul's 56, right?
Yes.
As I said, RuPaul is younger than me. So even the other day, when on March 7th, when it was my birthday, my parents called to give me the God's Riot Act.
What'd they say?
And they even, honey, the usual, you're abomination, you're a disgrace. You know, the whole been better you were never born type of deals.
So they don't like your drag act or what?
You're funny, bitch. They can't get over the fact that there's a rainbow lady inside the family, honey.
Oh.
Your mother's trying to give you a bad edit.
She's not giving me a bad edit, honey. She's only editing herself wrongly when she show up to the pearly gates in Trent and God asks her, so where was the Christ like in your life?
Well, just like Katy Perry, you're both raised evangelical, right?
Yeah, we're from the Jamaican blacks, the zealot Christians, the crazy ones who believe that they might have to kill in the name of God to get their point across.
And I'm a fan of yours. I'm a friend of yours. I'm rooting for you.
We are not friends. I have never met you a day in my life. I have never been on Peace the Fun before. Who is this show? I don't know. In the words of Mariah Carey, I don't know her.
And every time we see you performing and, you know, being showcased with maybe in the past with Laura Branigan or with Miley Cyrus and now with Katy Perry, and the fact that they're smart enough to put you front and center of the action is really great. Or maybe it's just because that those outfits you wear really stand out.
Well, here's the thing. I was never one to be the normal bitch in the back wearing a dress and a gown. Yes, I was forced to wear a gown, but I told them, and the picture that I did send them was the picture with me standing next to RuPaul in a mohawk. And I looked them dead in the face and I said, I don't do hair, honey. I said, I'm coming with spikes on my head. And they said, perfect, we want it. Because it was bigger spikes off what was on my shoulders. And so I went home that night. We went home that night. The rehearsals was until 4 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
I got home. We took a Uber, me and the Countess Mascara, back to Harlem, all the way from Brooklyn. The rehearsals was in Brooklyn. It was not in the city. They held it away from the city so no one would know what was going on, you know.
So it was a top secret thing, just like, because I talked about it with you on the phone and you're like, can you keep a secret? And I said, don't tell me this, because if it gets
really
leaked, you're going to blame me for it.
You just outed me in a podcast, bitch. What? That says that I told you, can you keep? You just outed me in a podcast.
No,
to the
because
world
nothing, no information was exchanged. There was no information exchanged.
You better take that out.
Oh, that's actually, you're absolutely correct. I didn't tell you exactly what I was doing.
I did ask you if it was a white woman or a black woman, and you wouldn't even answer
and
that.
I said, I can neither confirm or deny she's a lesbian. Did I say that? Knowing me, I probably would have said, I said, I can neither confirm nor deny if she's from Christian Mingle.
Keeping your mouth shut when you have a lot of club kids and drag queens and who are really excited about the experience of being with a mainstream pop star on one of the most watched television shows, it's a big deal.
Well, hey, big deal. If you're out there, my email is vivaciousofficial@gmail.com. Drop me a line. Mother needs some bookings.
I'm surprised, you know, I gotta say, you're probably one of the most underrated drag queens that I know who's been on RuPaul's Drag Race. I've seen you perform live many times. I've hung out with you. You're really a great person. You really have a good head on your shoulders. And what's really impressive about seeing you perform live that you don't really get to see by watching somebody on television is those fan slaps that you're miraculously able to go straight to the beat of the drum.
I have been, the fan has been my trademark for 25 years, not 27. 27 years ago, there was another icon before me whose trademark was to use the fan and fan herself. and once in a while would snap it. Her name was Franklin Fuentes. She's the mother of all bitch tracks. On the 25th year, 2 years after that, I decided to add it to my moniker, but I decided that my job was to go above and beyond what I knew. And it also helped with the fact that I used to fight martial arts with fans. So I can use two fans at the same time and snap it, and slap it to the music, independently or together at the same time.
So you had a lethal weapon inches away from Katy Perry's face.
Yes, Miss Thing. I could have taken her out I could have taken her out at any time or give her a lower haircut.
Now you look fierce. What do you think about her Beetlejuice inspired fashion?
I thought that she looked absolutely, absolutely beautiful. I loved her hair. I loved everything about her spirit, her energy. She looked awesome. And you know, I was actually just reviewing the whole concept of the video. I believe Katy Perry came more prepared than us drag queens on stage, because we showed up like water buffaloes in gowns, honey, and she wore something that wasn't low enough to the ground to obstruct her, but gave her enough freedom to properly perform without not feeling as though I might step on this dress, I might rip the back of the dish, I might trip on this dress. Honey, I was in a pink gilded cage, bitch. Did you see that thing around my body?
That's one of my favorite outfits that you wear, is that pink outfit with the green spikes coming out around the neck.
She's designed for show and tell, not for show and do a show in.
I love the silhouette of her outfit, too, because it was kind of nice. It was like open up and you could see her body. But then when she kind of moved, like it kind of came together and it created a great little silhouette.
Well, what most people don't know about that outfit is the lower half is paparazzi proof. It's lined in reflective material. So had they taken a snap picture, the whole front and the sides and the shoulders would have lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, wow. Paparazzi proof.
She's very multifunction.
Let's do a shout out to your co-stars. Who's Brenda Darling?
I want to give a fierce shout out to Dwayne Cooper Milan from RuPaul's Drag Race season 4, because if it wasn't for her, none of us ugly hoes would have had the pleasure and the opportunity of working with Katy Perry. Milan was not able to do the gig because she's traveling with her doo-wop company, if I'm correct, across the country, spreading joy and cheer. And so she contacted us all individually and said she had an opportunity for us if were we interested. And so I wrote her back and said yes. And then she gave us the information and we proceeded and followed instructions 9 through 12 and made it to the show. I want to give a fair shout out to all the girls that participated. Brenda Darling, Svetlana Stoli. These are the ones that I know of are the ones that have the jobs in like industry and therapy and all the other bars in New York City. Okay. So Svetlana Stoli works on Sundays with Brandon Voss and she rotates a few other places in the city during the week.
And she names herself after her favorite beverage.
No, she's actually a Russian whore. Oh. she's a real Russian bitch on asylum. Trump is probably looking for her to get her into Trump Towers. But Svetlana doesn't know this because she didn't bring her Boginskaya green card with her. So Svetlana Stoli is one of the girls. Brenda Darling is the queen of the hair whip and the choreography with the high kicks. That gold dress that she had on, trust me, if they had told her she had to wear a bodysuit, that bitch would have probably did a pirouette with a fierce torsion right over Katy Perry's head, landed into the crowd, into a dip, get back up, do two head swishes, and drop right back into the stage into a dip. That's Brenda Darling for you.
Who's Little Miss Hot Mess?
Little Miss Hot Mess. To be honest, she lived up to her name. She was a bearded queen, hairy chest and hairy back. And she did her face in I think it was like a bronzish red glitter for her beard section. And she did her eyes in the same thing. However, she's also one of the nicest bitches you'll ever meet. She will lend you anything off her back and she will give you anything to help you in a drop of a heartbeat.
Who was standing next to you, dancing next to you when you guys were walking down the runway?
That is Joseph Extravaganza.
Oh, from Madonna.
He is, No. That's the person who was dancing before me. That's okay. Jose Extravaganza from Madonna's Vogue video back in the day. And he was also on tour with Madonna for The Truth or Dare.
Wasn't he also in Paris is Burning?
Yes, he was in Paris is Burning as well. Yes, he was the youngest baby off the whole bunch at the time. And also the youngest on Madonna's tour to be discovered by Madonna 444.
She's one of those people you're like surprised she's still alive. You know, she's gone through hell and high water.
Honey, she has been to the mountaintop and somehow came across the mountaintop and came down the fucking hill, honey. But
she hadn't aged a day. I mean, she looked like she was like 20 years old up there.
Well, you know, honey, they say black don't crack. In her case, black Spanish don't crack. So she's doing quite good. Jose Extravaganza, thank you so very much. His job in all of this was he was kind of like the creative consultant to a certain extent. They used him to help put the girls in the order where they probably needed to be belong in terms of this bitch can move, this bitch can do that, this bitch can do that, this bitch can strike a pose. So, and then I think he only came on as a consultant. And by day two, they were like, no, you could just start learning the choreography to get yourself involved. So that's how he was in, I think, in both pieces or one piece. I'm not quite sure.
The drag queen that looked like Pearl, but isn't Pearl, Scarlet Envy?
That is Scarlet Envy. She does Queer Friday Nights at the Monster. Downtown. She's the hostess and the door personality as well. And she looks like Paris Hilton.
And she's like Pearl in the sentence that she looks really good, but unlike Pearl, she can actually dance.
Right. She actually, and did you notice she was swishing her hips around? She was giving you a runway supermodel. At one point, I wanted to take her in the back room, munch her tray, beat her up, and hate her all in the same sentence. Just like that.
Giselle Alisea?
Okay, so next to Jose on the runway in the red dress was Giselle Extravaganza, the mother of the house of Extravaganza. She also used to work at Patricia Fields for many years. And I think with her connections with Patricia Fields, Susan Barsh, and a few other people, and for the fact that she is a legendary ballroom mother, she has garnered her way into the real world of modeling, so she actually is a real model.
Who's a Britta Filter? Because that's a wonderful club kid name.
Britta Filter came after Brenda Darling and Svetlana. She was wearing the green sequin dress that could also you flip the sequin and it turns blue. She was had fur on her arm. She was with, I think she was with Hot Mess. Yes, she was. Britta Filter is also one of the queens in New York City that also works with Brandon Voss for his drag brunch on Sundays. And she works multiple other parties all over New York City as well. I think she also does one on the upper middle, in the middle of Manhattan, I call it, like in the upper 100s on the west side, I think. I'm not sure. But Miss Britta Filter, you every other week you will turn around, the bitch is in a new gig somewhere doing her gig.
Yuhua Hamasaki.
Yuhua Hamasaki.
Yeah.
One of the fiercest trannies. I know y'all keep saying that's not a word. One of the fiercest trannies. I keep thinking that bitch needs to be on hormones. She is so fish in the face and so cunt in the body. The whole time she was there, all I wanted to do was take out a shot of hormones and give her a size D titty. Gorgeous, gorgeous individual. I swear to God, honey. You meet this bitch, honey. All you want to do is be like, girl, you sure you want a hormone shot? Okay, you're afraid of injection needles? Let me give you a pill and sell, bitch. You're going to look cunt when you come out the oven, honey. This bitch, if she stuffed a pussy up, the world would be in trouble for the Asian girls. She's a sweetheart, a costume designer. She designs costumes for most of the other drag queens. I'm in New York City, and I think she works at Lucky Chang's and a few other bars.
Oh, there's a drag queen here in Chicago, Tiger Lily, who designs a lot of stuff for Kimchi.
She's not a drag queen.
I thought she identifies as a drag queen.
Does she?
Yeah, she says gendered woman, but okay. She also is a fashion stylist and self-identifying drag queen. At least she has in the past, maybe, but... Tiger Lily. Yes.
Tiger Lily, if you're going to be designing fierce costumes like that for drag queens, guess what, bitch? You is a drag queen.
That's right.
She may say she's a drag queen, I don't know.
Kimberly Smalls.
Kimberly Smalls is the queen. She lives up to her name in terms of she's very tiny. She was the one who was wearing the blue outfit that kind of when the lights hit her, it looked kind of white. But what most people don't understand is Kimberly's face and whole head was covered in a skull cap, in a theater skull cap that she then put glue and different forms of glue to, and she did her whole head in blue in different shades of blue, sky blue, light blue, dark blue and purples, and painted a fierce contour face of a blue face on her. She is the glittered Plava Laguna of this set. And if you saw this face up close, you would be like, this bitch did it in, honey. Miss Kimberly Smalls gave the face like nobody else.
For people who don't know who Plava Laguna is, that's the blue lady in the movie The Fifth Element, who's the diva who stores the stones in her stomach.
Which is one of my all-time favorite movies, and no, I didn't go and see the other one.
That's why we're, you know, connected at the hip.
I thought we were connected at the hip because Lady Bunny once tried to crazy glue us together.
She tried to make an island Puerto Rican Jamaican fusion cuisine. But ultimately, I'm sorry we don't get to all the performers, but ultimately the one who really is getting a lot of mentions is viral sensation Russell Got Bars, whose birth name is Russell Horning from Georgia. He's the kid in the backpack who is now has the dance move. It's called Doing It All Right.
I call him the kid with the resting bitch face, because his face, he has this face like, I am unbothered. I don't care if there's a celebrity in the room. I'm just here to do me. But then when he smiles, he has the most affectious smile that you're just like, he's so cute.
He wrote on his Instagram, I dance to be funny. And just for the record, I'm not a good dancer. I do not think I'm that good. If you don't think it's funny, nobody's forcing you to follow me. Haters, back off.
I think Russell in the future is going to be a good walker or a good break dancer. He has the arms, the length, and the body for it. I probably also believe in a few more years, he's probably going to grow tall enough to probably be a model, but he's very good at what he does. And he's always coming up with new moves, making up new moves. And that move that he did, I guarantee you, if you put him in a room of about 300 people and tell them to match him, not many can pick it up that quick. He has that thing on lock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He actually posted a video of backstage with Katy Perry, and she was trying to imitate his dance moves. And he wrote, when your mom tries to look cool. Then he took it down, unfortunately, because people were like, that's mean and ungrateful.
Well, I mean, compared to him, we're all moms. I mean, me standing next to him, I'd be his great, 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 great grandmother. So, you know, no, I mean, like, he's 15. Katy Perry is only 17. I'm like 302 hitting Methuselah. So, you know, that's just how it is.
We were trying to imitate his dance moves. We're like, what's he actually doing here? It's like his hips are going back and forth and his arms are swinging and every now and then.
No, sweetie. The first swing, both arms go forward. When the next swing comes back, the right arm goes to the back. The left arm stays in the front. When it swings back the other way, the left arm goes in the back and the front arm goes to the front. And it creates this. It's a 3D image dimension going on. Each arm is switching back and forth. Once in front of the body, once behind the body, while the other arm is doing out the other way and then swings back and goes behind the body the other way.
And his hips are shaking, though, too. And that kind of throws everything off, too.
No, because the hip shaking with it makes the arm fall in place. The problem with it is, though, in terms of the brain has to remember that this arm this time went in the front. Now it has to go in the back. The right arm the next time went in the back. This time it has to go in the front. When it crosses in the front, it needs to stay in the front and cross the other way. And so it's a very tricky, complex move that he's actually doing.
This child is doing calculus while she's swinging her arms in front of her.
And everybody wants to know, what was in that backpack?
That bitch got E equals MC squared going on in her brains, honey, and she turned out the results quite well, honey.
Now, what was in the backpack? Did you get a chance to snoop?
I'm convinced she was collecting Pokemon cards.
For the record, what was in the Russell's Got Bars backpack was a water bottle, a phone charger, a couple of those finger fidget spinners, and earbuds so he could listen to music while he dances.
See, had I known that was the case, I would have jumped his ass for the fidget, bitch, because I still need one of those.
Those look like a lot of fun. That's the new trend. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a ninja star that you spin around in your finger and has some ball bearings to make it go fast.
College teachers in high school and junior high schools are starting to ban it because the kids are not paying attention to their work and they keep spinning it around instead of paying attention. So it's actually become an educational distraction in a lot of places. It's actually been banned. It's been created for kids that have autism and things, people that have attention span disorder, but it's also become a distraction in and of itself. When it first came out, they were $12. Now they're going for $2.
We have some great questions on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/feastoffun, and in the friends of the show where people can post comments and post their own interesting content is facebook.com/group/feastoffun. The first one comes from Ziggy Phillips. He wants to know, where can I get a fan vivacious that'll make such awesome thwarps? Do you lube up your fan with WD-40 to make it spin like that?
First of all, honey, you should see my hand job special, and I'm talking using the fan. I'm not
You're
talking
super
anything
horny
else.
Today.
No one here has a dirty mind. Not me, honey. I'm from Christian Mingle. I just came here to meet Mingle. Secondly, my fan is actually lubed up with gun oil. Thirdly, the fans that I use is of a special type. I actually, when I get the fans, I take out the physical vein in them and put in my own because I need something stronger because the ones that they make, the aluminum, if you're English, that they put in between as the vein is very cheap. And after the fifth or seventh snap, it'll break in half. So I switch it out with a stronger material and put it there to make it. But it also gives me the flexibility to have a very stronger fan that makes a very stronger crack.
So are regular Chinese fans really fragile?
Honey, what I use with mine is extremely unbreakable. I find a very strong material that I can use for it. And I make my own vein and put it inside instead.
Ziggy wants to know, was there a special microphone picking up the sound, the thwaps of the fan?
Okay, so technically speaking, in the whole run through of the show, the minute that the chorus started for swish swish and you saw all those pom-poms flaring, I was supposed to be snapping my fan on every four, as in flap, 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 flap. But however, the executives sent a text message to me saying that they can hear my fan way above the music all the way in the back. So they said, please limit it only until the runway section. So you would have heard the fan more in the beginning, but this made more sense because now it allowed that I could walk down front, do the fan in the time signature that I wanted to, which is 4/4 with syncopations. And I was close enough to Katy Perry that it was able to translate through her microphone and out into the world.
The fan thwarps were so synchronized with the music, it was almost hard to believe it was real.
Well, that's because when it comes to the fan, I am the original fan wielder, bitch. And anybody who thinks they can do otherwise, come step to me. I will eat you alive. I actually use the fan and do full songs all the time. I do happy birthdays with it. I do Full House. Anybody who has known me for the last 27 years will tell you there are videos all through the internet where the fan is in my hand and I'm using it in the middle of my video. My audition tape for RuPaul Drag Race was done with the fan in my hand as well.
Ido Hudson wants to know, do you ever feel unsafe walking around New York City in drag?
I do not walk around New York City in drag. I'm not one of those, look at me, queens, honey. I don't do drag for attention. I do drag because I'm an artist, and I also do drag because this work. I do drag to open up social consciousness that the LGBT community does exist. But one thing that I do not do is walk the public in drag. As a young child growing up, your parents shielded you from certain things in life because when you're young, they don't think that you're ready for that. I don't think it's my job to throw something up on society that they're not ready for yet. If a mother has to sit there and explain it to a child, when that child gets old enough, the mother can explain it her right way. But it's not my job, my right to go and throw myself at them in that sense, because I had a parent who protected me when I was younger. However, I will not walk around in public because I grew up in the era where to walk around in the street and drag, a bitch could get killed by a queen named Jomanda. And Jomanda was just a regular girl who had a boyfriend named Tito, who would turn around and be like, Jomanda would be like, Tito, that bitch over there thinks she looked better than me. You need to defend my honor. And then Tito turned around and beat your ass on the train or slit your throat on 42nd Street because I have seen things
you
like that happen in the
past. You
gotta
watch out for Tito and Jomanda.
Yes, you gotta watch out, especially Jomanda, honey, because she'll set you up.
Andreas Larses, and this is a Andreas is about 6'3", muscular, Swedish man. He says, I want to know what your thoughts are about love and relationships. Are you single? And then he blew you a kiss.
Oh,
I gotta tell you, Vivacious, if you can go to Malmo, Sweden, and hook up with Andreas,
because you'll Malmo more.
You'll be. He's a very good looking guy.
And Andres, I like a tall white man because I love mountain climbing, honey. Yes, I am single. My two friends are Dildo and Fleshlight. On a Friday or Saturday night, when I'm not working, I turn on the vibrators in both of those bitches, lube them up and throw them across the room and watch them while I'm taking pictures with a 1972 hand wheel camcorder for porn bitch. No, I don't have a boyfriend.
I don't think Andreas can handle this.
Okay, let me put this in layman's terms.
Yeah.
I graduated from Harvard with 4 degrees in deep throating. There you go. Done. I am not your role model. I'm just a supermodel.
Have you seen this trend that's happening all over the internet? Is guys who are, they're claiming to be straight, but of course they're having anal sex. They're going to like IKEA, Lowe's, Home Depot into the furniture section that's a little bit abandoned. They're dropping their pants and filming themselves fucking each other up the ass. I put up a link to the video on our Twitter account, twitter.com/feastoffun. It's amazing.
Did you see the other one where the straight guys a few months ago decided that the cool thing to do was to do a beer bong inside their friend's foreskins? So one would open up his foreskin, they would pour the beer in there, and the other one would lick and drink it out of the foreskin. That's a straight thing, by the way. So, hey, straight folks, if you're going to do what the gays do, stop trying to beat the gays to death.
Generations ahead of yesterday. But I guess so. Gay people are been on to anal sex at Home Depot and IKEA, and now straight people are imitating us.
People are saying that was at a Lowe's, though.
It was at a Lowe's.
They're saying it's an IKEA, but other people are chiming in saying it's a Lowe's.
It might have been at a Lowe's, but that was still a low, honey.
That was on the down low.
And I don't
that
think
that was a no no.
I don't think that they were like straight guys doing it as a prank. I think that they were just trying, you know, they're probably, you know, guys don't have butt
I believe it was straight dudes because gays are a little bit more conservative unless they're hopped upon some form of pill or something else, you know.
I was impressed though. This guy took this guy's butt, dick up his butt. With very little lube.
Well, we don't know. He may have been pre-lubed inside.
Maybe. But he dropped his pants, and it just went right in. I can do that.
Take this from a black queen who has topped many white straight men. I have met so many straight men that has never had anal sex, and on the drop of a dime, they consider the ability to penetrate is like a valor of honor that I took it and won. Honey, this one boy, one day we were in the park hanging out, just talking, and we knew that there was a bushy area. I guess he must have scoped it out ahead of time. He dragged me in the bushes, dropped his pants, and said, stick it in. I'm like, stick it in? I said, there's no lube. He goes, trust me, I can handle it. Bitch, I was up to my elbow.
You just swallowed it.
You weren't mountain climbing. You were spelunking. You're going to the caverns.
Sometimes those assholes, it's like they reach out and they grab it and they just suck Sweetie, it right in.
This motherfucker had me on the ninth levels of Dante's levels of Inferno, honey. I was like, well, how the hell did I get in here this quick?
Dixie Cup wants to know what you're up to in the future. You're working on a lot of exciting projects. Can you talk a little bit about them?
Okay. Right now, I'm also selling costumes. In 2 weeks' time, I head for Norway. I am the main DJ.
You are
DJ
going to
for,
Norway?
What are you doing in Norway?
Yes. I'm going to Norway. Oh, I'm the main DJ for Norway Pride coming up on June 6th in Bergen.
I think Andreas is going to be there. Hold on a second. Andreas, you need to meet up with Vivacious. Well, I'm going to set it up.
He lives in Sweden, but
he goes to those things.
Yeah, so. He goes to those things because it's not too far. But also, too, I think we also had another question from somebody else in Norway asking what Vivacious thought about, Drag Race, this latest episode. We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that in a second. So let's finish up this question. Okay. I'm in Norway, June 6th. I currently have a party at the Museum of Sex in New York City. So New York City has somehow changed to be quite boring. Everybody just wants to go to techno parties and think that a big name DJ is considered a party while they're on drugs. In the old way of New York City, it used to be performers, DJs, and the music and the lights that put everything together. So I started back up a party that is based on DJing, house music, and drag queen and performers. With go-go dancers and bitches who can carry on with costume changes about four costume changes a night. So that's about 20 to 26 costumes a night in terms of what people are seeing visually in the room. So I started at the Museum of Sex, and we do that every Friday night.
Does the Museum of Sex have a cafeteria?
The Museum of Sex has a lounge, and in the lounge is also an homage to Studio 54. During the daytime, the lounge is a gallery for the public to see. You should look it up online. And it's all the pictures of Studio 54 that were taken that is inside there, including the Studio 54 sound system.
What kind of exhibits do they have in the Museum of Sex?
They just recently did the museum for the first time to turn it into a display, but it's all the pictures that were taken, including like pictures with Grace Jones and many celebrities from Studio 54.
So they don't, do they have like sex, like ancient dildos there too, or anything like that? Or
The lounge section is different from the store section, but yes, in the store section, there is a history of dildos and all things pleasurable. You can even buy nipple jellos with glitter on it that you can eat.
Yeah, I think they actually have an exhibit of all the different sizes of penises from all the animals in the world.
That's the penis museum.
I'm confusing. Nice. Okay.
I think they do, and they have it upstairs. The Museum of Sex, I think, is about four floors. So on the first floor is like, you know, the traditional get your S&M gear and a dildo and condoms and T-shirts and sex novelty toys, etc. But it's four floors, and there's a full exhibition going on in there with tour guides. I've never taken the whole tour, so I'm not quite versed in what's going on the inside.
So Tim Reisley, who is from Norway, so he lives in Oslo, so maybe he'll come and see you in Bergen. He says, were you impressed with the Club Kid Challenge on the latest episode of Drag Race? And who would you say is the clear front runner now?
I would say I was somewhat okay with it.
Can we talk about what actually happened? Spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet, but it's almost a week later, so.
Yeah.
I would say some of the looks were more so Club Kid trying. Not so much Club Kid-ish. because when a real Club Kid look is executed, you can actually feel the energy from it. I didn't feel anything from that. The one that I closely felt a connection to that felt very Club Kid-ish was probably only Peppermints.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really great to be able to see the comparison between Katy Perry and all of you guys and see Drag Race. And it was kind of like the Drag Race was a copy. It was like a ghost of what the real thing. And so it was really nice to actually see what real Club Kids actually look like and it shining in their own element.
Right.
Do you feel like...
It was,
go ahead.
Do you feel though that Peppermint's look may have been mopped up from Muffin Head? Some people are saying that she kind of
the peppermint.
No, Peppermint look was kind of from Muffin Head.
No, well, first of all, Muffin Head is her own unique individual. Two, what most people don't understand is Peppermint also lived the post Club Kid era in New York. She's not from the original one. She's like from the second or third generation over. So she also saw that every single weekend because all her friends are from that vein. So she also lived it herself. Thirdly, the person who designed her outfit, her name is Delicia Glam, and Delicia Glam is a Club Kid. She is a female, a real female. She's from the House of Ninja, and she created that costume. And yes, so I and if you go check Delicia's pages, you'll see that she's all Club Kid 100%. So yes, Peppermint was the clear winner when it came to that.
You're a neighbor of Peppermint. Now, do you call Peppermint Agnes? Because I guess they did an interview with her this week in a magazine, and they said like her name is Agnes.
Agnes Moore.
Yeah, Agnes
Moore. Like Andorra, the actress who played Andorra in Bewitched.
Well, it was Agnes Moorehead.
Okay.
So maybe Peppermint doesn't like to give head, so she was just Agnes Moore.
I don't know about that part, but we are in the same building. She's a few floors below where I am, but she's also been here the longest.
Mm-hmm.
But you call Peppermint Peppermint. You don't call her Agnes.
Well, actually, I think Peppermint also has a real female name as well. So it's like, here's the thing. If I meet you as a drag queen and I know your boy name, you will never hear me call your boy name. You are the name of your drag queen. I don't care if you are getting married, walking down the street with your future date, with your future husband. I don't care if you're with your family, your mother and your church father. I will still call you Peppermint because I feel that it's very insulting to call them by the slave name that their parents give them because that's not the name that they chose. Just like how you will not call me by my male name. I didn't choose that name for myself. My name is Vivacious.
Let's clarify what the term slave name is a reference to Muhammad Ali because the change. He was a famous boxer at the time and he was born. His parents gave him the name Cassius Clay. And as a successful boxer, he changed his name to Muhammad Ali when he converted to Islam. And so in the especially in the 80s, a lot of people were talking about slave names at the time.
Well, slave name to me is this. The name that is used to inflict the most pain on you because, you know, think about this. A lot of straight people, and I know this from working in straight world for 20 years in Clubland. If they think they know your boy name, they'll be that one irritating, sea urchin, agitating ass motherfucker that'll walk up to you, even though you're looking your fishiest and go, Mac.
Right. I got to say, though, I've noticed a definite change since we've had, you know, social media, Twitter, Facebook with drag queens. It used to be back in the day. It's like if a drag queen was in drag, you had to call her by her drag name. And if she was not in drag, then you had to use her boy name and they would get mad. Like if you saw somebody like misunderstood, you know, hey, misunderstood. You're like, no, call me
Alex.
Yeah. I think we actually did a whole podcast on that. This is way back in like 2005 or 2006.
Yeah, well, I'm sure misunderstood listening. She may not agree with you though.
What
about that?
In misunderstood's case, that might be a little bit different because
it was common though for a lot of other drag queens to be like that too. Like, do not call me my.
Well, because people were felt that they were being outed, in some ways, and so for us it was really difficult because we had to introduce people as something on the show, and you know, for some people, the only relevant, you know, they were well known as this drag character, but they didn't want to be interviewed as this drag character they created, so it was really hard to.
Some people
we couldn't interview on the podcast because there was no way good answer to that question. Like, what do we talk about and what do we call you?
Mm-hmm.
My name is Vivacious 24/7. They also asked me, what gender do I like to be referred to? I said, she. A lot of people's like, why not he? I'm like, because to me, he is the weaker sex. Sorry.
Speaking of female empowerment, I guess Melania Trump... while they're traveling the Middle East right now, Trump was trying to hold her hand and she smacked it away from him. She was like, she's sick of his shit.
Well, you know, maybe Russia probably finally told her that now that she's completed her job as a KGB infiltrator to ruin his life, her job is done, so she don't have to sit there and play that shit no more.
She still got a baby with the guy.
Yes, that is a clause. Normally, when you fuck when you mess with the KGB in that sense, they usually send out a cleaner team to get rid of the child and the spouse because they don't want any of their spies having kids.
KG she.
So let's talk a little bit more about Drag Race, because unlike most drag queens that have been on Drag Race, you actually love the show and watch it.
I'm an avid fan. Let me tell you this. I'm a huge Shea Coulee fan. I mean, I love the bitch from head to motherfucking toe. Her spirit, she's my spirit animal. I love her energy. I love everything about her. She is doing everything that is the right thing to do. And she has exhibited this in every single stage of this show so far. I am rooting for that bitch for the win. Yes, I have sisters in New York and even sisters that are in my building. But she is giving me everything that I need.
What is it that you like so much about Shea Coulee that inspires you?
She has such a radiance of positivity about her. You know, remember when we first had the interview about the girls on season 9, my biggest concern will always be with my Black sisters and Latina sisters, but mostly my Black sisters. It's for some strange reason, it seems as though the show always tries to find some Banji ghetto ass Black girl to use her as the troublemaker, the rubble rouser, or some little nasty attitude, which could then hurt her in the real world because it doesn't translate to bookability. Bookability is the ability to book a bitch to do a show because you come off as this little nasty ass Black girl. I always call it Black girls with problems. And she doesn't give that. She doesn't exude that. She's extremely positive.
BGP, that's a Black girls with problems.
Yeah, Black girl BGP, Black girl problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or ABG, angry Black girl. She doesn't have any of those issues.
Well, I got to say, you know, we've known Shea Coulee for a long time, and definitely like Shea has risen to the challenge and really grown as a person and as an entertainer and as an artist for this contest. And to me, I was very concerned that Shay's inner saboteur, her negativity or her struggles or frustrations as an artist would take control, take center stage during this competition. And that we've seen none of that. So really Shea has, play the game right. She is set to win. It's the first time we're going to have a Chicago winner on Drag Race. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, we're totally rooting for it. And I think that, you know, there's a certain maturity, too, because we've known her for a few years now. And I think that she's just like, you know, she's at the top of her game and she's feeling very confident and she's looking great. And she knows what it takes to get to the top, and she's going to do it.
And our dog, Jesse, likes Shea Coulee.
Yeah. Of all the drag queens, I'd have to say that Shea is probably Jesse's favorite drag queen.
Really?
Yeah, well, because Shea will actually play with it. Most of the other ones just look at it like, can I wear it?
Yeah. Can I eat it? Can I wear it? Will it bite me? No, actually, Shea is a dog person, and she's very good with Jesse. So, for the record, people. But I always try to get Shea Coulee to actually babysit Jesse, and she never would.
I'm going to forward you guys an article my roommate just sent me. It says, I've been identified.
Okay, what's it about?
Identified for what?
You know, who were the troglodytes that were on stage with Katy Perry? I just forward you on the video. It's a link. It should be on Fausto's phone.
You've been identified.
Girl, when my roommate said I got identified, the first thing went through my mind was the IRS and shit. I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's scary.
Okay, I don't want to be identified, Miss Thing. I'm trying to live on the DL, honey.
I've seen what you've done throughout the years. You're really, you know, our audience adores you. They say that every time you come on the podcast, it's a gift to humanity. You have a great personality. You're such a strong performer. You're really kind, giving person. I've seen you in a club environment. You're always professional, always on time. You got your shit together. And to me, it's like, I want to see you touring. I want to see you like getting more gigs than some of these troglodyte queens who don't, you know, have to.
What's really funny about this is, for 12 years before RuPaul's Drag Race existed, I've been traveling the globe working with very big name DJs. And all of a sudden, it's like people are like, oh, the Ravens and this was in the top fives. And I'm like, bitch, these people couldn't even get three people to like them on the internet before Drag Race. And it's not to be shady. It's just the truth. It's in New York City. I already had a huge 18,000 people fan base following just from my regular stuff from back in the day. So I was always traveling, you know, so it's so new that people now just based who you are based on Drag Race. Some club the other day called me. I was like, hey, we want to book you to come and work in our country for $500. I said, bitch, I said, in the straight field, my minimum fee just to work is in the 4-digit range. Just because you saw me on Drag Race don't mean I work that type of money. You better step your damn game up. I'm like, Drag Race does not antiquate to how much what my fee is, because I've been doing this longer than most people have. I already have a real fee out there in the real world.
Honey, they gotta step their pussy up.
They better skip to my loo, honey, or get to skipping.
What did you think about this week's elimination? What did you think about Valentina's lip sync
or non lip sync?
If anybody has a problem with Nina Brown, you need to come step to me so I could knock you the hell out.
You don't feel like Nina?
Okay, she's violent and horny today.
I know. One thing that strikes me about Nina from watching Drag Race is that she suffers from paranoia. And I want to stress this, especially if Nina's listening. I'm sure she's gone through hell, and the reaction that she's having is perfectly normal. That said, though, is paranoia the best way to handle the situation she's in at the moment?
As I said, there's a reason why Shea Coulee is my favorite spirit animal, is because Shea Coulee identified that symptom and behavior with her 2 episodes back. She is paranoid, but you have to. But what she needs to be aware of is this: the worst of the world can only sympathize with your paranoia for so long before they go, girl, bye.
Well, listen, I call bullshit, though. I call 100% bullshit on that, because you know what? She has a right to be paranoid, because not one of those girls wants her to win. You know, they all want her to lose. They all want
her. Well, guess what, Miss King? There's a Drag Race girl down in Atlanta that's only got 10,000 followers, and they're the ones that's barring Nina Brown from working in clubs all over these damn years. And now Nina has more than 177,000 following. So I had to tell her at the end of the day, Nina, don't worry about if they only got 10,000 followers. Look how many you have. Now you need to figure out what your true gifts are and figure out how to excel yourself and make yourself and perpetuate yourself now that RuPaul has given you this opportunity. Do not judge yourself based on Atlanta. She needed to treat Atlanta like a cyst. It needs to be popped and pay it no mind.
You got to pop it and pull that little sack out, or it just keeps coming. So you're saying that there's a Drag Race alumni, somebody that used to be on the show in Atlanta, that has gotten Nina Bonina Brown barred from many of the gigs there?
Not so much barred, but her influence made it so that Nina could not ever see the inside of these places. Then she want to walk up to Nina and be like, oh, girl, you know, I never threw you shade. No, honey, the only time you're coming up to Nina and saying something is now, because she's making it this far. And guess what? Nina Bonina has made it further than most queens in Atlanta. The only one who really did successfully also was Trinity K. Bonet. And Trinity had the good mental health and strength to move her beautiful, talented, and gifted ass down to Texas. Trinity K. Bonet, keep on turning it out down there, girl, because you're a fierce, fierce, fierce bitch.
So the only other drag queen I can think of from Atlanta is Nicole Page Brooks from Atlanta, Georgia. And is there one more? A Michelana something or other?
They're not on the show. It's kind of hard to follow them because there's a lot of them.
There's a, there's a few of them down there. They know who they is. They know what they do. And also the clubs that they, also the clubs that they work in, these queens do not speak up for the fact that over the last 5 years, these clubs has also been cited as clubs that don't want black people in their clubs. Unlike Shangela, who went into a club who made statements against black before and told the owner to fix his statement and his premise, and he had no choice to. These girls just go along with it. They know who they is. And if they want to get to me on Facebook page and they feel called out or they need to defend themselves, go right ahead, bitch. Because you know what? Your action speaks volumes over the years that you've kept silent knowing that all of this was happening.
How do we fight against racism in our own communities, with especially when it comes to the booking of entertainers?
The only thing you can do is go out of your way and create your own universe. And side saddle those that are being those people and do something much, much more successful. Because at the end of the day, you can't change the stripe on that sheep.
You have to create an alternative.
You have to create an alternative. And then if you create one that's really good, you'll either see them come around, which you can either accept them or deny them, or other people will jump from their bandwagon and go, she was the wrong one in the wrong. You know, because you have to lead by a strong example to change something. But also, you got to remember, when it comes to things like this, when Rebar in New York City was called out for racial discrimination, it wasn't the blacks who called them out. It was the whites who went in there that were friends of the blacks who goes, we saw this shit and we know exactly what y'all are doing and we're calling you bullshit. So it takes good allies off the race who knows where the discrimination and the disparity is coming from that can help identify these situations and use their protection that is afforded them to help bring a light into situations like this. And it's only that way you can affect some form of a change. Remember, people, Dr. Martin Luther King did not march a million march men into Washington, D.C. In the middle of that march was a fierce white man whose name happened to be Senator Bernie Sanders, okay? It takes from every side. Gays in general did not get here. We did not get here to have rights by ourselves. We got here because of people like Katy Perry. We got here because of people like Lady Gaga. We got here because of people like Miley Cyrus, who decided to use their presence to add to our presence to create a synergistic thought in intolerant people's minds, to open their minds to try to see things from a different point of view.
And who was the fierce gay man who helped organize Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington? Was Bayard Rustin. Rest in peace.
See?
He's always overlooked, even by our own people, as a very important contributor to civil rights. And so when people make the argument, gay people are trying to steal or attach themselves to the struggle of African Americans, I like to remind people that the struggle for African Americans and the struggle for LGBT people have been one and the same. And the people who have been organizing those things, like Bayard Rustin
and Black Lives Matter.
And who?
Black Lives Matter.
And Black Lives Matters has been queer people of color.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people do not realize that Black Lives Matter was formed by two lesbians and one gay male.
Yeah. And this is the kind of thinking, this type of like interconnectivity, collaboration, love, global tribe. This is the kind of shit that moves things forward. That's why, to me, you know, because I actually went on Saturday Night Live's YouTube channel and looked at Katy Perry's video. 30%, 33% of the upvotes or downvotes are people disliking it.
Oh, really?
So, it you know, in some ways, this is a risk still for Katy Perry to embrace club culture and racial and sexual diversity.
Katy Perry also has a following of Middle America Republicans.
Yeah.
And they are in that state where they feel that they need to galvanize and try to use social media to try to stop anything that's trying to create racial equality for the LGBT community. As Katy Perry said on the night off when we were about to go on, when we first met her, she said, it is part of her mission to make sure that we normalize the LGBT community to the middle of this country that has that think that they have a different language. So we have an ally in Katy Perry.
I think a lot of people cynically look at Katy Perry's, I don't know if you call it a mistake or struggle, is the collaboration she had with the rappers who didn't let the drag queens in the second performance, Migos. To me, it's like she's trying to bridge different worlds together. And sometimes it's something that doesn't work as well as it can.
Well, you know what it is? It's I think sometimes you can mess up a village idiot that is homophobic by like for instance, when I meet a crazy racist Christian or something, I'm like, bitch, this is the outfit I wore to Christian Mingle last week. That messes with them because they're like, huh? What? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, You know, so yes, it's her way of doing that. You know, it also might have been the label's thing to say those guys were the latest hot rappers to do something with at the time because maybe they were trending the most. Mm. Yes, there's a pro and a con, but remember, at the end of the day, when we performed our version with Katy Perry in terms of the Swish Swish, we didn't perform the choreography section to Nicki Minaj. That was taken out of the track. So guess what? Katy Perry has always written her tracks that whenever a rapper comes in, 5, 6, 7, 8, edit on the one. And when you get to 16 on 4 counts of 8 later, you can then hit edit again and then get rid of that rap section and just slice the rest of her tracks together. And now you have the whole song with Katy Perry minus that part of it. So at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt her. All it does is it gives her two options. She the hip hop world can also enjoy what she does. And the children who want just give me straight old Katy Perry can also have that. I edit out all the rap sections and all the Katy Perry songs all the time, and I perform the rest of her track. And I do that to any other artist also that put raps in the track.
So even if the rap artist is pro-diversity and progressive, you still want to get rid of it?
Honey, I don't see that world because that world is still wrapped in its own. They're still wrapped in their own mental slave mind, so I'm not here to give credence to them or light in any way, shape, or form. I only support the part of things that, you know, think about it. If a hip-hop artist comes out as gay, honey, look at the amount of flack that he gets. So I'm like, I'm not trying to go sit there. It's just like you trying to tell me, hey, girl, why don't you go be the spokesperson for Jamaica since you're gay? Bitch, please, put that damn whole island on a bomb and send it back to Timbuktu.
So when you perform a song by Big Frida, you just edit the entire song out.
Well, here's due to the fact that her thighs smell like peanut, yes, I did edit out that part of it. I don't have a problem with Frida because Frida is from our community. I still play the Frida section at times, you know, just because it's still diversity, but that's not my judge. In the words of Jasmine Masters, that's not my cup of tea. So I would stay away from that section because to me, I'm a white woman of color.
She's one of those artists like the Black Eyed Peas, Big Frida, that whose name is always said in a song. Like you, every single song that Big Frida writes or produces, part of the lyrics is Big Frida.
Well, you got to remind people who sing it.
Big Frida coming at you lately, you know.
Because Big Frida reminds me of that 1970s show Fame, honey. She wants you to remember her name.
Vivacious, how do you feel about orbs?
What are orbs?
Orbs are like
a glowing sphere.
A glowing sphere. Did you see Donald Trump with the Egyptian president and the Malaysian?
The orb of evil.
Yes, he was with the Saudi king.
Well, I had an orb too when I played when I was going to do Snatch Game for Miss Clea. I was like, call me now! before we jump on the orb, let's go back to Valentina. Valentina, okay. Dear, you cannot show up to RuPaul. I know you studied RuPaul's Drag Race for many years. That's why you were able to get your drag so well put together, because you are from the era of the internet, whereas most older queens had to learn how to do drag by experience from going out. But the show is based on lip sync for your Mickey Freaky Life, darling. That means you take off the Jasmine veil off your face and do your job. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for a sidebar panel. It's not up for a train of thought.
She didn't know the lyrics. That's why she didn't want to take the mask off.
Sweetie, then you say, watermelon, bumblefuck, Timbuktu, how do you do? Do something. Move your fake lips. Do something.
It's interesting that she sort of choked and panicked at that point in time. But do you think it might have been overconfidence that the judges were giving her so many compliments that she was like, there's no way I'm going to get up for elimination?
If that's the case, then you can say you could then blame that on inexperience and being that young doing drag.
Sure.
I mean, because I think as you get older, you learn the tricks of the trade to get you through a song that you don't know. And I don't think she has developed those skills yet, because any old queen knows you could have started doing turn numbers, you know, put the part of the songs that you know, you turn to the crowd and you seal that shit right to RuPaul like you own it like a motherfucker. And the other parts, you backpedal, turn your head to the left, to the right, spin around real quick, drop into a dip. Make sure when your head tilts back, they can see your shoulder, but they can't see your lip. Put your hands up in the air like you're yielding. She was trying that with her arms.
She was trying. Everybody was like,
No. Honey, well, guess what? Also, in her case, honey, those cameras had her 6 ways till Monday. On RuPaul's Drag Race, when you are lip syncing for your life, there are 12 cameras looking at your behind, honey, on 12 different angles. No matter how you turn, they are going to snatch and watch your lips. So Valentina had nowhere to go. But the thing is, you can still fake the lips.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that she's probably going to have one of the more successful careers. Everybody's talking about her. Everybody loves her. One of our listeners ran into her at an event, and she did the Charlie Hides to Jujubee. She just looked at her and was like, "Who are you?" and then walked away coldly.
Who walked up to Valentina and did that?
Said, yeah, you remember Valentina, when Charlie... Like, so Charlie Hides and Jujubee had been... I guess Jujubee had reached out to Charlie Hides and said, "Hey, you're going to be in... I'm going to be in London."
Actually, what it was Jujubee just came back from her hometown in London. She was on her phone texting, and Jujubee said, "Hey, I just came back from your town in London." Now, as I said in that thread, is if somebody told me that they just came back from a place that I know I could relate to, I'm going to look up immediately and try to acknowledge the person. By not looking up, that's just you knowing it was her and you decided to throw shade.
And maybe, and you know, she was just drunk or having a bad day or something, but she had a personal crisis. We don't know.
You
know,
maybe she secretly hated this drag queen and she didn't know it.
And so the same thing happened with one of our listeners. She approached Valentina, and I guess they had sort of been a little bit in communication, and Valentina just gave her an icy cold stare and walked away.
According to this person. So
yeah.
But you never know. It's like sometimes you're out in a club, you don't know what's happening, you see somebody on the street, they say hi to you, you say hi to them, you don't know, and you know, people are pulling you in different directions. It can happen.
It's also a matter of how they approach you. Some club patrons at times think that they can approach you in a demeaning way and think that, well, your PR reputation is based on you being nice regardless, thinking that queen won't lit them up. And then when they get lit up, then they gag. So, you know, I take stuff like that with a grain of salt. I have seen it happen many times where people are like, "Well, you were supposed to be nice to me." And I'd be like, "Well, nobody told you to come off like an asshole first. So now that you've come off like an asshole, let me keep treating you like the whole butt that you are."
Remember when that audience member went up to you while you were performing on stage and tried to take a selfie, and then you took your fan and thwarted the camera?
Which is proof again that I am the queen of the motherfucking fan, bitch. That thing is a lethal weapon in my hands. I will read you the filth without even saying words. There are many ways how to talk to somebody besides sign language. Yes, it happens, you know. And it's like, girl, I'm not performing just for you specifically. I'm performing for a club of people. It's not about your personal you at that moment. Let me do my job, and I will be more than happy to take that picture with you when I'm done. Now, if you had came up to me in the beginning and said, "Hey, is there any way I could sneak a picture in with you while you're doing your show?" I will set it up organically so that happens. I will take your camera from you and take the picture, yes. and put you in the show in that sense. I love using people as props in shows. There are days where I put a white man across my face and walk across the room with him and put him down and put him on the other side. You know, but let me know ahead of time. Don't feel fierce on my dime. And I think that most performers, regardless of who, feel the same way. Because think about it. What if I was supposed to turn at that minute and my hand smacked you in the face or in the eye, or I did a movement that caused you harm, or I was supposed to turn and your proximity to me caused me to twist my ankle or my leg? Are you paying for my medical bills? So don't assume just because I'm on the same floor with you, I am the origami that you're supposed to mess with. I am not that piece of paper. Let me do my job, and then I will play with you.
I am not your origami.
If you don't pay my medical bills, I'm not going to pay you any mind.
Exactly. If you can't pay my medical bills, won't pay you no mind.
Vivacious, every time you come on the podcast, it's really, as one of our listeners said, it really is a gift to humanity. And I appreciate your friendship and your personality and you as a performer. I would love to get you to come to Chicago and be on Cooking with Drag Queens. It's a,
I know, but
it's a dream for us.
Them damn Chicago clubs, honey. No, you hit them up and all you hear is crickets. I should write a bitch track about that. About that, I hit you up in the club. All I heard was crickets.
They just need a little nudge in the right direction, and I'm hoping that we can help that happen. Vivacious, yep. People can follow you on Facebook, right? Vivacious NYC.
Yes, and Instagram, Vivacious NYC, Twitter, Vivacious NYC. I've been mostly putting up stuff on Facebook, my fan page, and also Instagram in terms of pictures, videos. And some of y'all need to go get some of those damn Ornatius, honey, because y'all gonna gag when that Ornatius music video come out and you realize that your face wasn't in the video. But y'all didn't hear it from me because I ain't one to gossip.
Ha ha ha. Was that you making that sound, or was that somebody else? It sounded like somebody else.
That was
else.
Me, honey. That was from In Living Color when he used to go, I got a song, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the sound.
That's an old In Living Color reference.
Vivacious, it's such a good time with you. I absolutely love talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us all the tea, ice cold and scalding hot tea, behind Katy Perry's amazing performance on Saturday Night Live.
The green tea, yes. The Earl Grey.
Herbal, the organic.
The chamomile and the ginger tea too. And I want to say thank you, Feast of Fun, for having me on your show. It's always an honor. Thank you, Katy Perry, for having me on Saturday Night Live. And thank you, Milan, for having me on. And thank you, World of Wonder, and especially Mother Rue and Theron. Without you guys, this little stone going down the hill would have not have been able to turn into a boulder. So I do truly appreciate all of it.
It is nice, you know, and I, for you know, people criticize RuPaul's Drag Race. They feel like the move to VH1 has been a mixed blessing in the sense that we now have to share you guys with a bigger audience. And it feels some of the things that we really like about the show, for example, like the runway, has been edited down to be briefer. But ultimately, you know, if it wasn't for RuPaul's Drag Race, you wouldn't be part of our lives. And it's really a real blessing to have you as around as a friend.
We wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have this global gay language anymore. We would be doing it in different little pockets, not being able to combine together. And this show has given us a nexus and a big LGBT hub where we can come in, get the latest update, and spread love and say love to everybody else all over the world. Aww. So yes, RuPaul's Drag Race is very important, and it is very fundamental. So is reading, by the way. Reading is also fundamental.
Reading builds community by putting everybody on the same plane.
And you can get that t-shirt in our store, Reading is Fundamental, at feastoffun.com/store.
Oh, shit. My bell didn't work.
Oh, your bell's broken.
It got muted. Hold on. There we go. There was like a cable in the between. It was like... Vivacious, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so very much for having me, love.
Thanks, girl. Bye. Bye-bye.
Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out on social media, Vivacious NYC, and get yourself an Ernatia headpiece, right?
Yeah, she sells it at her store on her website, facebook.com/vivaciousnyc.
I've seen people wearing them out and about, you know, like if you go to like a pride celebration, you're like, wow, people really look great in these things. And it's like, and it's of course, you know, when there's a crowd of people and you're trying to find your friend, wearing those Ornatia headpieces make you kind of like big birds stick out from the crowd. And so they can find
you. You will always find them. Yeah.
Follow the bejeweled alien face.
I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastofun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. And another great way to support the show is to make a donation. You can do that at feastofun.com/donate. All the money goes to making this podcast happen.
And we want to thank you guys for 13 years listening to our show and being with us. And a lot of you guys have been with us through our many adventures and journeys and introductions to wild and woolly characters. And it's a real honor and a pleasure to be able to deliver this podcast to you guys. So thank you so much for being a long-term listener and being a friend. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.